Have you considered the intricate handiwork of God? Listen to Adrian Rogers.
If you were to think about the human body, your heart pumps every minute of our lives 10 to 30 pints of blood throughout 60,000 miles of arteries and veins and capillaries. Now, some people would have you to think all of this just happened, but the psalmist said, I am fearfully and wonderfully made.
Welcome to Love Worth Finding, featuring the dynamic lessons from pastor, teacher, and author Adrian Rogers. As we were just reminded, our bodies have a billion complexities designed by God while we were still forming in our mother's womb. Our bodies can only function at His mercy, and our spirits can function with unction by the grace of God. If you have unction, it means you have the power of God on your life. If we want to be energized and directed by the Holy Spirit, we must first understand how God designed us and why. If you have your Bible handy, turn now to Genesis chapter 2 and look at verse 7 as Pastor Rogers begins an insightful message, How to Function with Unction.
I heard years ago about a preacher in a small country church in the backwoods who asked his deacon to dismiss in prayer. And the deacon prayed a long prayer. And in the midst of that prayer, he prayed a phrase like this several times. He said, And Lord, unctionize our pastor. Lord, unctionize our pastor. Lord, unctionize our pastor. Now, the pastor didn't like it very much because it sounded like something was wrong with him. And so he met the deacon at the door and he said, Now, deacon, you prayed several times for me to be unctionized. He said, What does that word unctionize mean? The old deacon scratched his head and he said, Rev, I really don't know what it does mean, but whatever it means, you ain't got it. And I think that whatever it means, there are a lot of us who don't have it. So I want to talk to you tonight about how to function with unction. That literally means to have the power of God upon your life, to be energized and directed by the Holy Spirit of God. Now, in order to understand this, you're going to have to understand how God designed you and why God designed you the way He designed you. So look, if you will, in chapter 2 and verse 7. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Now, this is the story of how God made the first man out of the dust of the ground. Somebody said that God made man, stepped back and looked at him and said, I can do better than that, and made a woman. Well, that may be true. If you're a lady, you probably believe that it is. But here God tells us how He made the first individual. And He made this man body, soul, and spirit. He made man out of the dust of the ground. That's his body. He breathed into his nostrils the breath or the spirit of life, and that is his spirit. And man became a living soul. Now, the Apostle Paul sums all three of these up in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 23, where he says, And I pray God, your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is a triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And God made us in His image, and so we have a triune nature, body, soul, and spirit. Now, I want to help you to understand the difference in the body, soul, and spirit, and why God created us that way and how God put us together. And I think you'll get a lot of instruction, and hopefully you'll get a great blessing and learn some practical ways to live the Christian life when you understand just why God created us and engineered us the way He did. And the very first thing I want you to notice is what I want to call the magnificence of the human body. God formed the human body in verse 7, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground. Now, this word to form, and when the Bible says God formed man, is a word that is used for a potter who would be molding clay. God just made a man out of dirt, out of the earth. For years, people would laugh at that as though that is some primitive, ignorant way that pre-scientific days would describe the making of a man. But in recent years, scientists have been startled to discover that indeed man is made of clay and earth. As a matter of fact, NASA's Ames Research Center reported that these research scientists, in analyzing the human body, have found out that every element in the human body, every single element in the human body, is found in the dirt, in the earth, every one of them. And so if you give the scientists time, they'll catch up with God. They'll catch up with the Bible. As I've said before, when a scientist has a good word to say about the Bible, that doesn't give me any more confidence in the Bible, just a little more confidence in the scientist. Now, suppose you were going to make a body, and you were to take these elements and put them together. What would you need? According to the reading that I've done, you'd need 58 pounds of oxygen. You need 50 quarts of water. You need 2 ounces of salt. You need 3 pounds of calcium. You need 24 pounds of carbon. You would need some chlorine, some phosphate, some fat, some iron, some sulfur, and some glycerin. And you would take these things. Let's suppose you took them into your kitchen. You said, I'm going to make me a man. I'm going to build a man. I don't think you'd be very successful. If you were to take just 1 square inch of skin, just 1 square inch of human skin, the size of a postage stamp, that 1 square inch of skin would have some 3 million cells. Every cell, as Paul Doty of Harvard said, more complicated than New York City. There would be in that one little piece of skin, there would be a yard of blood vessels. There'd be 4 yards of nerves, 100 sweat glands, 15 oil glands, 25 nerve endings in just a little postage stamp of skin. And we're not talking about the micro construction of the skin, but just those things that are more obvious, like sweat glands. If you were to think about the human body and the circulatory system of the human body, the heart pumps every minute of our lives 10 to 30 pints of blood throughout 60,000 miles of arteries and veins and capillaries. I said 60,000 miles. The average man has about 10 pints of blood, and that blood contains 25 trillion red cells that carry the oxygen. And there are 25 billion white cells that fight disease. Now, a white cell doesn't live very long. It lives about 12 hours. The red cells will live for about 120 days. And then this blood is oozing through our body in minute little vessels called capillaries, these tiny tubes that surface the bloodstream. If you were to take these capillaries in your body, in my body, and spread them out, they would cover a 1.5 acre field. And they are interconnected so as to supply the nutrients to your body, all of these millions of cells that require these chemicals. Now, what that would be like, it would be like Federal Express delivering trillions of packages daily to over 60 trillion business customers over a route of 60,000 miles. That's what your blood system is doing in this body that God has made. No wonder the psalmist said, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Now, your body knows what each of the cells need, what the nutrients that are needed is and are, and these cells send out signals, and as the little truck in the bloodstream stops at each cell, it unloads those particular nutrients and those particular chemicals that are needed for vitality and for life. That's the reason the Bible says very clearly and plainly, in pre-scientific days, the life of the flesh is in the blood. You have not only those red cells, but you have those white cells that have antibodies that are particularly designed to fight disease. And if you get a particular disease, those white cells will go to get the name, rank, and serial number of that disease. They will organize an army to go fight that disease and whatever that particular germ or virus is. It is an amazing thing that God has put into our bodies. The Hebrew word for heart is lev, L-E-V, and it speaks of not only the emotional part of a man, but also may speak of that muscle, which is the most powerful muscle in the body that pumps all of this blood. Hold your fist up about that way and clench your fist and look at it. That's just about the size of your heart. Your heart is just about that big. If you live to be 80, it will work every day, day in and day out while you're asleep. That muscle is working. Now, if you work with your arms, after a while, your arms will get tired. If you work with your legs, after a while, your legs will get tired. But your heart, weighing less than a pound, will pump 1.5 million gallons of blood every year for the rest of your life. I said 1.5 million gallons. In a lifetime, the human heart will pump 40 million times. It will push almost 1 million pounds of blood through the 60,000 miles of blood vessels that make up our body. Again, I remind you that the Bible says the life of the flesh is in the blood. Now, some people would have you to think all of this just happened, but the psalmist said, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. I have been reading about the complexity of the human eye. The human eye is a marvel. No scientific instrument is as sensitive to light as the human eye. The human eye can see a glow as faint as less than 1/1000th as bright as a candle. In the dark, the sensitivity of your eye increases to light 10,000 times. Now, if you have a camera with an expensive lens in it, you may be proud of that camera, but no man has ever made a lens that is superior or will even equal the lens in the human eye. It changes its curvature to focus on things that are near, the things that are far. The pupil is self-adjusting. You don't even have to think about it. The adjustments are automatic, requiring no decision on your part whatsoever. And when your eye takes pictures, it takes them in color and develops them instantaneously. And I was reading something very interesting, that when a little baby is conceived in its mother's womb, there are optic nerves in the eye that begin to grow toward the brain. And there are nerves in the brain that begin to grow toward the optic nerves in the eye. There are more than 1 million nerve endings in the baby's eye and more than 1 million nerve endings in the brain. And these begin to grow toward each other. Now, you and I get amazed when we see engineers who perhaps will to dig a tunnel and will start on this side of a mountain, and they'll start on that side of a mountain, and they dig through the mountain, and that tunnel meets. And we say, isn't that a marvelous act of engineering? Well, friend, over 1 million of those nerves grow from that baby's brain through the flesh to the optic nerves in the eye and vice versa, and each one of those more than 1 million finds its counterpart and gets connected. That is an incredible thing, and some foolish person will say all of that happened just by chance. But every day, hundreds of thousands of people are born with the ability to see. The human eye is an amazing thing. It has the ability to transmit to the brain over 1.5 million messages at the same time. Only God could do that. Psalm 139, verses 13 and 14 says, For thou hast possessed me from my reins, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. I also did some reading about the human ear. The ear is one of the greatest architectural wonders in the world. No man could ever produce a microphone that would duplicate the human ear. The middle ear contains air. The inner ear contains liquid. What happens is that when there is a noise, the sound waves activate the eardrum. The eardrum is capable of handling over 73,000 vibrations per second. Now, these vibrations are transmitted by the means of small bones called ossicles to the fluid in the inner ear. And these act like a piston, driving that into that fluid back and forth to the rhythm of the sound pressure that is beating upon those ears. Now, the movement of that fluid goes to a thin membrane called the basilar membrane, and this transmit a stimulus to a complex structure called the organ of Corti, containing the nerve endings of the auditory nerves, and the ear is so complicated that volumes after volumes have been written just about the human ear. Now, a man might design a radio or a television set, and everybody says that is a marvel of design. It is nothing compared to the human ear. What about the whole nervous complex of the body, beginning with the brain Between your ears, there's about 3 pounds, more or less, and some of us less, of gray-white matter called the brain. It has more than 30 billion cells known as neutrons. And all of these are interconnected in an incredibly complicated way. There are literally millions and billions of interconnections inside your head, and your brain is a computer that no computer has ever been built that will begin to match it. If you'll think about just simply a boy catching a football, he goes down the field, let's say some 30 yards, and a man throws a football. That boy's wonderful eye that we're talking about sees that ball in the air. And immediately, his brain begins to calculate. He calculates the speed, the trajectory, the distance, and then the messages go to that boy's, all of the muscles in that boy's body, and they begin to coordinate themselves to move into position to catch that ball. No man has ever been able to create a computer that would even begin to approximate what happens that you and I just take for granted when a 10-year-old boy catches a football. Now, we have a body. That body is made of the dust of the ground. It is God's crowning creation, and thank God for it. But remember that God made us body, soul, and spirit. I remind you that plants also have a body, and I remind you that animals also have a body. So what makes man different from plants and animals? Man also has a soul. The Bible says that God breathed into man's nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. So the body is just simply the house for the soul. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 1 calls our body our earthly house. And 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19 calls our body the temple of the Holy Ghost. So your body is just a temple, an earthly house that you have while you live on planet Earth. Now, you are not your body. You live in your body. But now you have a soul. Now, the Bible says that man became a living soul. The Hebrew word for soul is nephesh. And the Greek word would be psuche, is the word we get psychology or psychic or psychiatric from. That is the you that lives inside the house. Your soul is your real personality. It is your sense of humor, your intelligence, your likes, your dislikes, your idiosyncrasies, your proclivities, all those things that make you the uniquely wonderful person that you are. Roughly speaking, your soul is mind, emotion, and will. Now let me show you how the Bible describes the soul as being mind and emotion and will. For example, in Psalm 139 in verse 14, we've already quoted that. The psalmist said, I will praise thee, for I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. So the soul can know things. A soul enables us to see, as I just gave you these facts a little while ago about the human body, your soul has enough intelligence to say, yes, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. So intelligence is in your soul. Also, the will is a part of your soul. Psalm 27 in verse 12, the Bible says, deliver me not over unto the will of mine enemies. Now, the word that is translated will there is the same word that is translated soul. And it could be translated, deliver me not over to the soul of my enemies, because the will is in the soul. So if you're going to seek God, how do you seek God? You set your soul to seek God. You say, I will seek God. So what is your soul? Your soul is your intelligence. Your soul is your will. And your soul is also your emotion. 1 Samuel chapter 18, verse 1. And it came to pass when he had made an end of speaking unto Saul that the soul of Jonathan was knit with the soul of David, for Jonathan loved him as his own soul. Love, emotion, is in the soul of man. So you have a soul. Your soul is mind, emotion, and will. So you see the magnificence of the human body. You see the miracle of the human soul. That God created you and God gave you a mind, God gave you an emotion, and God gave you a will. because God breathed into man's nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. When I was a young Christian, I used to think that soul and spirit were the same thing, that the terms were interchangeable, just the invisible part of a man, that you could speak of a man's soul or speak of a man's spirit, and it was six of one or half a dozen of another. But that is not true. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23, that I gave to you before, and I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, what is the difference between the soul and the spirit? Well, let's back up a little bit. Both men and animals have bodies. Men and animals have souls. Does that surprise you? The Bible teaches very clearly that animals have souls or soulish life. Put these verses down, Genesis 1, verse 20, verse 21, verse 24, and verse 30. All of those verses speak of animals as having conscious life, self-conscious life. Animals, your pet. If you have a dog, your dog has a mind, emotion, and will. Your dog is a soul, but the dog's soul will die and perish. Dogs do not have everlasting life. Cats do not have everlasting life. Parakeets do not have everlasting life. What makes man's soul different is the spirit. The spirit of man is inextricably united with his soul. Now, man's soul and spirit are not the same. Hebrews 4:12 and 1 Thessalonians 5:23, they are not the same, but they are inseparable. And it is the spirit that makes man unique. Not his body, not his soul, but primarily the spirit that makes us in the image of God. For God is spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And when the Bible says that God breathed into man's nostrils the breath of life, God put himself into man. And the word breath is sheh, which means the spirit of life. God put himself into man. He did not do that to the animals. And so you have a human spirit that makes you unique from any of the animals.
And we'll continue with part two of this message. But if you have questions right now about who Jesus is, about what he means to you, how to surrender your life to him, go to our Discover Jesus page at lwf.org/radio. You'll find resources and materials there that can answer questions you might have about your faith. Again, go to lwf.org/radio and click Discover Jesus. Now, if you'd like to order a copy of today's lesson in its entirety, you can call us at 1-877-LOVE-GOD. Mention the title, How to Function with Unction. This message is also part of the powerful series, Cultivating a Deeper Faith, How to Strengthen Your Spiritual Life. If you'd like the complete collection, all six insightful messages, call that number, 877-LOVE-GOD, or go online to lwf.org/radio. Or you can write us at Love Worth Finding, Box 38600, Memphis, Tennessee, 38183. Well, thanks for studying the Scriptures with us today. And here's an encouragement to spend some time in prayer and ask God's Holy Spirit to illuminate your spirit. Adrian Rogers said, "When your body is right, you're healthy. When your soul is right, you're happy. When your spirit is right, you're holy." We hope you'll join us Monday for the powerful conclusion of How to Function with Unction right here on Love Worth Finding. We were so encouraged by a listener who reached out recently and said this, "I minister in assisted living and nursing homes weekly, and I use Love Worth Finding resources in my ministry as I go. I tell others about Love Worth Finding as I go along as well. God bless you all for your ministry of Love Worth Finding to us all from all platforms." Well, here at the ministry, we're passionate about helping you cultivate a vibrant faith in Jesus Christ. And to thank you for your gift of support that helps us do that, we want to send you a copy of the book, Believe in Miracles, but Trust in Jesus. The intention of every miracle in the book of John was to point people to the miracle worker himself, Jesus, the Son of God. In this book, Adrian Rogers shows us how these miracles hold relevance in our lives today. Request it when you call with a gift at 1-877-LOVE-GOD.